Governor Obama.
Going to Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
That's no moon.
We're all fine here. No, thank you. How are you?
Welcome to the Star Wars Nerds Podcast. I'm Dan Vadebonker.
And I'm Kenton Larson.
We have another episode of Ahsoka to talk about, Kenton. Yeah. And I am happy to say that it was probably the best episode so far of the series.
I do believe our pattern that we hoped for is unfolding exactly as we've foreseen it.
Not exactly. There's one key element that was missing, I think, from this episode.
Oh,
that we'll get to it.
Yeah. But there is no doubt that this is the best episode of Ahsoka so far. I don't know anybody who would disagree with that. Even somebody, let's say somebody hated the first shows. Let's say somebody loved the first shows. I think you all will agree that this was the best one.
Yeah, and I think it's because it depends a lot on what came before it. There's a lot of like reference to the Clone Wars, which was great. We hadn't had a lot of that, right? We didn't get any, like I was complaining about that, I think, in a previous podcast.
Yeah, we wanted that.
Because Ahsoka is the Clone Wars, right? That is her series. It's not Rebels, because we saw this was all Rebels focused so far.
Right.
And then, of course, we got all this Anakin time that I think people really loved. And lots of lightsaber battles, which people also love. And I love how we're now using lightsaber battles just to solve our moral quandary, our intellectual problems that we have. It's become like a symbolic thing as far as how to work through your issues.
And I will also add that the thing for me that made this rise above what we've seen up till now was the artistic approach to presenting something that didn't come off as calculated or as fan service or as like some hacky flashback that didn't necessarily pertain to the storyline. It was there was spine tingling moments, Star Wars moments presented artistically, and did they shoot these in a sequence, these shows? Because when you look back to the first episode and compare it to this one is just so head and shoulders above what we had seen there. So if in fact they shot them in a sequence, and this is showing Filoni's growth from episode one to now, I'd say as a writer, but also I don't know who directed this one.
I think it was Filoni. I think he's doing the whole thing.
No, there was another director.
Oh, okay. Well, he directed this one. I saw it. I waited through the credits.
Like, this was something special.
Yeah,
you know,
I guess so.
I think it was. I now there is something that's missing that I think. I wonder if it's the thing that
Thrawn. We didn't get Thrawn, right? That was the one thing we should have had. I think we could have. I was waiting for. I watched the credits because I thought we might get a post credit scene or something of what's to come next, because that would have been nice to have. And it was also a longer episode. It was not like the 30 minutes, like 45-ish minutes here, which is not too bad.
That sort of made me enjoy it more, knowing that there was more to come.
Yeah, it feels like a full episode of television, right?
Yes, it didn't feel like that. Like on some of those other episodes, it felt like the clock was running the whole time, and it was like, don't cut away. Like every scene, you're like, don't cut away, like keep it going. This one, knowing that it was longer, I enjoyed the fact that we had some solutions and some conclusions, and then we continued a little bit past that.
And Astley raised some more questions,
yes,
I would say.
Well, that's how you get people to keep watching.
Right.
But yes, that has been painful in previous episodes. I didn't think this one was as painful.
No. And again, it doesn't. I know there was a very lack of Sabine, obviously, because we didn't get to see anything happening with that side of the story. This is all focused on Ahsoka. And then we had, of course, Hera and her crew kind of searching the area. And I thought it was interesting that they decided to stop and search the area when clearly that ship went off. Like, how do they know they're not both on that ship? I don't know. They're sitting there and they're like, what's going on? And she comes out, she's all like, got her gun out. Like, are they still here? What's going on? Like, she a little bit much.
Yeah, I know, because they were there for that initial craziness.
Yeah.
Where could they be? The thing you saw is where they could be. But I thought the same thing. But I let it go because there our friend Kim's Convenience, Carson, our comic relief, our new comic relief.
Well, but I say he's being a real Captain Panaka in this episode. He's just like...
No, but I like... No, but yes, he's got that great scene where he's like... He's got two. when she's like, so we're doing this and that and so-and-so is happening, and he goes... Okay.
Exactly.
That's a good one. And I also like when he goes, okay, I'm going to tell you.
And you're not going to believe me.
That's right.
And then you can tell he's just going through the whole spiel as it actually happened. He's telling them the story.
It's like me at work.
Yes.
I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to believe me. You're going to disagree with me. But here it is.
Yeah,
and,
right.
Yeah, and you roll it. I thought he was great.
But
in
he
that
was
role.
Also very negative. He was the one like saying, yep. We got to go back. We got to get
he's,
back.
He's
we gotta...
worried the man was going to hand it to him when he returned.
Well, yeah, I guess he's worried about his commission.
He's been away from the office for a while, right. Yeah, and he hasn't been checking his email.
Yeah.
He's can't We've all been there.
And I guess he's also realizing, like, hey, they could both be on the other ship. Why are we sitting here searching this area?
Mm-hmm.
But I think by going back to, like, the gun, her pointing the gun, I think that's meant to convey the immediacy of this just is, as soon as that happened, they went down to this landing site. This is immediately after the end of the last episode. I think that's all that's meant to convey. But yeah, they come out there and they're searching around, and her son, of course, because he's got the force, because he's what's his name? Son. I always say what's his name. I don't remember his name, but he
Jason
is the son. What's the name of the guy? Freddie Prinze Jr.
Which guy?
Freddie Prinze Jr. He's his son. They tell
Kanan.
Kanan, yes, yeah, they say it. They tell, they explain it in this.
Sorry, I get confused.
There's lots.
We always say we toggle between actors' names
and their roles.
Voice actor names and roles
they may have had in previous Canadian comedies.
Yeah, like, Kim's Convenience.
What I loved about that moment where he's like, okay. It's just like, that's exactly what that character would have done in Kim's Convenience. Like, it's just, that's after a scene where you see like his kids are doing something crazy and he's like, okay, whatever.
But I like that his role is expanded to everybody's favorite X-Wing pilot.
Right.
Like who saw, I thought when we saw him in The Mandalorian, that was one and done. And then suddenly,
he was friends with Jon Favreau or something like that, or I don't know.
Yeah, and I thought, isn't that nice that he got this little cameo? A little, like, holy, I guess he must have, they must have liked what he did. And what he did has always been good, but this little light touch and humor that he brought to it, I was like, oh my God, that's what this show needs.
He's also, just a regular-looking guy Star Wars isn't as bad as the Marvel films for having the beautiful people everywhere, but it's nice to have regular-looking people in the Star Wars universe that you can just be a regular, everyday guy. So then we go back to Ahsoka, who's in the World Between Worlds. Is that what it's called? World Between Worlds?
Yeah, but I don't think they ever say those words.
No, they don't. No, they don't. That's what people have called it, I guess.
But don't forget, there's the scene, you hear waves.
Yeah. They build up to it.
Okay, so let's start with the Ahsoka.
They really took their time with that. Like, here's the waves.
I like
here's
that.
The thing. Here's, and by the way, and on this other, and I get what they're conveying. They're like, on the other plane is this. So there's still this place. It's just at another... on another plane. And that is reinforced with a kid who can hear them. When they start fighting with the lightsabers, he can hear them fighting and he can hear what's going on. And it's because he's sensitive to the
Force. But then Hera could too.
I think she's just... How could she hear those things over her ears? She never takes those headphones off. How could she hear anything?
Does she have headphones on?
I don't know. What is that? She has her little headpiece that she covers her ears up with those...
Oh, it's like a thing.
It's like got goggles or whatever. It's got like pilot's goggles, which she doesn't need because she's not outside. She files her ship. I don't know how these things work.
I think Hera is supposed to be like Han Solo, but she doesn't quite, she doesn't have the Harrison Ford delivery,
the person who designed that costume did not think it through, I think.
It was animation first, and so now you're stuck with it.
Right.
But yeah, I know what you mean.
I think she just trusts her son. I think that's what it is. She trusts her son and says, okay, he knows. We're going to stay and look. So they continue to look. They continue to search. They fly low. Oh, that was actually, someone said, Chopper had it coming in. There's something coming in. That's later on. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Right.
Okay, so then
let's go back to the Forbidden Zone.
Right, we're back in the Forbidden Zone with Anakin and Ahsoka, and I really like this scene.
Oh, it's so amazing.
It's just like such it's the what you wanted, the conversation you wanted them to have. Ever since really we saw how was it in what's it called? The Bad Batch, where we saw her finally leave? Or was that in the final? No, that was the final season of Clone Wars they gave us. Right, remember they had that final season of Clone Wars that came out on Disney Plus, and then she left, and then you really want them to have like that. Oh, they're finally going to talk about what happened and why it didn't work out or whatever.
Right. But wait a sec, didn't she? Okay, I might be. We are very light on our animated knowledge. I've forgotten everything. I've watched all the Clone Wars. I've not watched all of Rebels. When did she fight Anakin as Vader? She cracked his mask open.
That was in Rebels. That was in Rebels.
Okay. So they have.
Oh yeah, they have. You're right. I'm mixing up the timeline. Yes.
No. Well, I wasn't sure I was right on that.
You're correct. So they have seen each other since they fought. They fought each other in Rebels.
And from the very beginning of this conversation, it does seem like we're a little unclear. Is he kind? Is he menacing?
Well, and he does both very well.
Oh,
holy crap!
Hey, they let him act, man. They let him act. And he did it.
Go figure.
And he pulled it out of the bag.
Well, I mean, I think we all knew Hayden Christensen could act. That was never the issue. Yeah. I don't think it was.
I came out of this episode going, this bastard's going to get an Emmy for this performance.
I wouldn't be surprised.
No, I wouldn't be surprised
either. I think it was excellent. But you know, I think, I mean, if you watch Life is a House, that's a film he did shortly after the Star Wars films that is incredible and shows his range. But this is, and then they come across Hu Yang, who's got Sabine's helmet. He's looking over the cliff like they're dead. But I guess Hu Yang fills them in on what happened. And he says, he doesn't even really know because he was at his ship when this all went down. So how does he know what happened?
And by the way, this is one thing I'm going to point out. We had more emotional conversations with Sabine's helmet than we've had with Sabine herself.
Yeah, that's accurate. I get it.
This episode made me wonder if Sabine is in for a fate worse than death, which would be to turn to the dark side, or death once they make it to the other side. Because this is an episode without her that felt more emotional.
Yeah, I agree, but I also think we have now a different view of Mandalorian culture since the last time we saw Sabine. We've had three seasons of The Mandalorian that's expanded that hugely.
Yeah.
And we saw a little bit of Mandalorians in the flashbacks when they're in the Clone Wars. They're fighting Mandalorians. Did you notice that?
That was amazing.
That was like,
those were the Mandalorians with the spikes coming helmets out of the top. Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, this is exactly what this is the scene we've seen. It's been referred to all these times. And so we know a lot more about Mandalorian culture. She seems to be Mandalorian with the Force. Who else is a Mandalorian with the use of the Force? Little Grogu. So I think that we could see her and Grogu team up at some point. I think that's where that's going. I think we're going to see Sabine move into being a Mandalorian character.
This was the first episode where I thought they might be hinting at the Mandalorian showing up in Ahsoka.
Yeah.
And if it happens, it will not happen until the last episode.
No, of course.
But it made me wonder for the first time.
We're five episodes in and they still haven't given us a freaking villain. So when are they going to give us the Mandalorian?
Well, this episode, though, was the first one where I was like, I don't care about the villain at this point, but don't put him in the trailer if we're going to wait this long.
Well,
it might have been better just to keep the mystery all the way
through.
That's
right. Yeah, at this point, you're right. Exactly. That would have been so much better.
Yeah, because we saw what he looked like. But I think that's what's causing this Where's Thrawn kind of issue. But in the – okay, so we're back to the Forbidden Zone there. And I think when Ahsoka comes to in the dusty world, we're on Geonosis, are we not, from Attack of the Clones?
You're talking about I thought it was Mandalore. I thought it was there fighting the Mandalorians.
Well, no, the second time we come back. So the first time, I think now I might be wrong. There's Star Wars nerds out there who will probably correct me, but I think the first one is Geonosis. Were you surprised that Ahsoka was a young person?
Yes.
It took me aback.
It did.
I love the clone running out of the dust at first, and you're like, what was that? And then a second one?
Yeah, that was good.
And then you hear Anakin's voice. Oh, my God. That was genius.
And it's like, because we've already seen Ahsoka as the older version for a while now, we're used to seeing her that way. It was a bit of a shock to see her. But you realize, oh, shit, this is what she would look like in the Clone Wars, because she was like a teenager at that point.
A kid, if anything.
She's very, very young. And interesting, I just saw this on TikTok. The actress who played young Ahsoka is the same actress who played young Gamora in Avengers. Whenever they showed that flashback when Thanos met Gamora, that was the same kid. Although she's, of course, older now. She's a teenager now, but she was a young child back then. Anyway.
And I'm told she is also in the Barbie movie.
Oh, okay.
She was great.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great scene.
When I first saw it, I was like, I don't know if this is going to work, but she sold the hell out of that role. Like, I don't know anybody who doesn't think that should be a show. Like, that should be a show, the Clone Wars show.
A live-action remake of the Clone Wars. Disney loves doing that stuff.
That was insanity. And by the way, my favorite part of Attack of the Clones, one of the reasons why I don't damn it as much as you do, is because I have so much forgiveness for the fighting clones at the end in the sand blowing around. I just love that part, that kind of dirty, gritty part. And that's what this looked like. It was like a continuation of how we saw Attack of the Clones.
It did, yes. And that's what I mean. Like, this episode had a lot of callbacks to the the prequel trilogy,
yeah,
and just kind of, it really felt like a direct sequel to that, right, in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And whereas the rest of it's been basically a direct sequel to Rebels, so we kind of took a break from that and went to Clone Wars territory.
And we also had, in that first sequence, she comforts the dying clone. She, and by the way, Anakin's lesson is live or die, right?
Well, yeah.
And so that's the lesson.
And it begins with them fighting. So he attacks her with the lightsaber. They fight. Then he smashes the thing out from under her, and she falls into this vision. And then they continue a conversation. Now, I'm not quite sure if this is supposed to be the same Anakin from the future. Is this like a Charles Dixon's Ghost of Christmas Past kind of thing?
You know how you know he's from the future? Because when she says, "I won't fight you," he's like, "I've heard that before." And that was Luke Skywalker.
Oh, yes, of course.
So right. He is. He has the knowledge. Well, that's what I... Anyway.
Because there's a version of it where you see him with shorter hair, I think.
But then he also says in the next sequence, I never saw this battle. Right?
Oh, okay.
So he's like,
okay. So this is her memory he's in. Right,
that he's in it, but he can still see what she sees. And by the way, you know where he was during the attack of Mandalore? He was killing Jedi at the temple.
Oh, shit. That's crazy.
I know. That's why I was thinking... Is he going to say where he is right now? Like, that didn't come up.
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
Okay, and also, we'll stay with this and we'll come back to those other sides later. Yeah. So then it ultimately comes back to a choice between life and death. It's amazing. This final scene and showdown between them is incredible. His performance, it truly shows that Vader still lives within him, right? That's what we're meant to see there, is that, and this is after Return of the Jedi, this is after he's died, this is his Force ghost, and this is where they live. Right before they go and glow everywhere else, and he still has that Vader, that dark side is still inside him. He let it out in that moment and just was like, ah.
I think one of the greatest Star Wars shots of all time is in this, when Anakin's walking into the sand, and then it flashes Vader's silhouette, and then it's him again, and then after, it's terrifying when they come out of the Mandalore. What do they call it again? The Purge of Mandalore. They come out of that, and then he flickers. When the lightning hits, he turns into Darth Vader a couple times. And I was like, wow, they really did a great job showing the light side and the dark side there.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention about the flashbacks, too. That was Commander Rex.
Ah, yes.
Or Captain Rex. And I pulled out the action figure to make sure.
I love it.
And there he was, like my Temuera Morrison face with the figure. And the helmet, it's his helmet, so that was Rex. That was great. And Temuera Morrison's voice, which was awesome to hear as well. The Anakin fighting in his prime was scary. I thought he was frightening. And once again, Hayden's performance was incredible.
Yeah. Oh, man, he was so good.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if we're going to see him again in the series, or is this it, do you think? Do you think he'll show up as a Force ghost later on? Maybe, at the end?
It's possible. I don't think I'm going to say no. Okay. He's not going to show up.
Just because we got so much of him in this episode.
It was such a beginning, middle, and end
kind
of scenario, but it opens the door for future.
Yeah, I think so. And certainly it looks at, like, what is this other place? Like, is he sitting there hanging out with Qui-Gon and Yoda and Obi-Wan? You know, like, what's going on in there?
And if I have one little thing I felt we were going to see in her mind was Obi-Wan. And I thought, even when they had in the background, you could see Rex and a couple Jedi standing there talking. And I was like, are we going to see Obi-Wan walk up? He's not going to say anything, but we'll see him in the background. But we did not.
No. We had a reference to General Organa in this episode, which is nice. That was came up. And so that's what's happening on the other side, is they're searching for them. They keep getting calls. We had a call with Mon Mothma where she's saying, and honestly, she makes a good point. She's like, you have nothing to show for this.
You're wasting money out there.
And you killed people. Like, this is so stupid. We don't believe anything. There's nothing coming here. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and she's right. So, but I'm surprised with where it ended up going in the end of this. We have now they make a point of showing Ahsoka like phasing back into the water somehow as she comes back. What happens at the end of the fight is she says no. She's basically
she disarms
about
to, him.
Yeah, she says I choose to live, but the choice means that she chooses to live by not fighting. Right, that's the light side of the Force. She chooses the light side because she does not kill him in that moment. She could, and she chooses to. Put her lightsaber down and save him, you know what I mean.
The best acting part of that whole performance was when she disarms him, and his face goes from evil to quizzical to kind, and says, "You still have hope."
Yep.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's an amazing Star Wars
transformation right there. Yeah. That was incredible. So that was, and then so she comes back and they find her. They found her in the, there's something coming in apparently the chopper could find.
Yeah.
And so they get her. And what did they do? Oh, they didn't do the Indiana Jones thing. That didn't end up being a thing.
It did not happen.
So, yeah. But they basically, they do end up talking to the whales, right?
Yeah. And by the way, we predicted that. And and I don't think it was a huge stretch to make that prediction. I don't think – it's not like we're soothsayers or anything, but it seemed pretty clear that that would be the one way that you could go where that ship has gone. I just want to say the whales look fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I thought – and it doesn't make sense, space whales flying around, but it looks great. And I thought it was such an artistic performance when and Ahsoka suddenly is a better actor. Rosario is better when she comes out. She's Ahsoka the White, and now she's
I noticed that too. She's wearing white robes now.
Yeah, we're like, okay, and suddenly it's lightened, and I went, okay, so that was a choice to make her a stick in the mud until now.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, but that was a little frustrating, but okay. And then her talking to the whale, and we're flying in the, that was awesome.
Yeah.
It was so well done.
And I don't think the whale is that far fetched of an idea, because if you think about it, a whale is an air-breathing mammal that lives in the water, which is not an environment that's susceptible, that's good for air-breathing mammals, but it survives because it can keep itself watertight while it's down under the water. So why couldn't it keep itself airtight when it's in space?
Right.
Why can't it survive, and it probably stops and goes to planets and gets more, I don't know, who knows, but it's a cool idea.
Yeah.
It's a cool idea of them naturally producing whatever it is that makes hyperspace happen, so they can travel great distances, and they've evolved that ability somehow. So that's a cool idea. There's just lots of neat ideas involved with these whales, and I'm all for that. I like when Star Wars puts out cool ideas like this.
But once again, the artisticness of it, it's just so nice. I understand why they showed this one in a theater in some
market. Yes, yes. Oh, yeah, sure.
Just beautiful scenes. This episode more than anything makes me want to watch the whole series again to kind of go, okay, now that we kind of know where this is going, what do we see leading into that? And by the way, Dan, you mentioned we heard the name Organa. Are we going to be seeing a little princess or little general or General Leia?
Are we going to be seeing a young Kylo Ren running around?
Are we going to be seeing a Han Solo? Are we going to be seeing a Luke Skywalker?
I don't know. Now we're on the other side of the galaxy. Now we have to open up in the other side. Now they've traveled through there. Okay, so she got into the whale without knowing where she's going, apparently.
We're going anywhere.
She talked to the whale and said, "Open your mouth and I'll get in and you can take me for a ride." And they said, "Okay." So she got into
the whale. But the robot pointed out something correct, which is, she goes, "It's better than going nowhere." He's like, "Is it?" or whatever. No, I think I'm with the robot on that one. I'll just hang out here.
But Hera doesn't go. She stays with
That surprised me.
Yeah, I thought she would totally go, but maybe it's because her son's with her. I don't know. Maybe there's another reason. But she's going to stay behind. I don't think we're going to see it's the last of her. I think she's going to come back later in the series at some point. I think at some point Thrawn is going to come back to this side
of
the
course.
Galaxy, and they're going to have to meet him and then fight him, whatever he's got planned. It better not be another Death Star. I'm going to freaking freak if he's got...
No, I think the hyperspace ring was a variation that worked just
fine. All right.
It gave us something new and something fine. But I think what the scary thing about Thrawn cannot be the weaponry. It has to be the tactician and he's always outsmarting you. He's smarter than people give him credit for or something, and therefore he's surprising and he can, whatever.
I suspect he's going to have a fleet of Star Destroyers over there or something.
Well,
gonna be, he can, "Oh, we're going to come right now. Oh, you guys are ready for me? Oh, let's go."
Well, I think it's safe to suggest that I think Ezra must be being held prisoner somewhere.
Oh, that's true, eh? I forgot about Ezra.
Right. Yeah. So we're going to meet Ezra, but who knows what they've done, right? Or how this could play out.
Yeah.
It could be the Thrawn's the prisoner. Maybe we're surprised.
Maybe.
And he's the prisoner. We got a couple of Sith-like people in play. We got a witch. We got Sabine over there.
Yeah.
Now we've got like there. It's just a real interesting mix of things that are going to be happening on the other side.
Yeah, and I think the second half of the season is going to be a lot better. But again, because the things that we thought were wrong with the show, it seems that they were intentional. And it was like they were literally making it like, although I still say that the pacing is still a bit slow. I would still describe aspects of this episode as being boring, but that kind of fits because it's a prequel trilogy reference and those are a bit boring as well. So I was okay with that.
I only, at the beginning of the show, once again, I was like, oh no, like here we go. But no, after that, I was all in and it's impossible not to get wrapped up in that stuff that happened in the world between worlds. And I also want to say that I have been talking about how this stuff just isn't really like gelling. But I thought one of the things that really worked in this episode was the events going on outside of what was happening and the events within didn't answer every question, but gave us enough that it made sense. One affected the other and vice versa. So it could have easily just been a flashback that then became a lesson later on in the episode. But it was just that little extra artistic flair that really lifted it.
Yeah, it was good.
So yeah, a good episode and some great scenes in a good, solid episode.
Yes. Let's hope the rest of them are like this.
Who knew? Like, that's what we hoped, but how often has Star Wars not delivered on what we hoped? Lots of times.
A few times, yeah.
So this was amazing to see, and I saw somebody doing a live reaction on YouTube, and he said, like, now I need to make a clone trooper cosplay. And now I need to do that, like a clone trooper cosplay is back in vogue. Now I need to do this. And I think that this episode brought a whole bunch of stuff out that will make people actually go back and watch Clone Wars.
Wow. Well, they actually have playlists on Disney Plus that have like Clone Wars essentials and stuff like that, which is good because there's so many episodes, it's hard to sift through them all. But that's, I'm not going to do that, but many people will.
Our first rave review.
All right, there we go. That's going to do for this episode of the Star Wars Nerds. I'm Dan Vadebonker.
I'm Kenton Larson. Don't let the Force hit you in the ass.
Now I am the master.
Going to Tosche Station to pick up some power converters.
TK-421, do you copy?
I'm taking an awful risk.